Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
How is it to listen to this again, Marek?
Hello, guys. It's very, very it's sensitive for me, you know. Last time when I was in Norway, it was, I think, after seven years. And I heard it on stadium. Actually, I had tears in my eyes. So it's same for me now. It's still, I think it's going to be like this forever.
And this is... from the seconds before you put that free kick on Brann Stadion in 2006. I think you remember that one.
Yeah, of course. I remember it. And now I have son, almost 6 years old. So I'm trying to show him some videos, what his father done in his career. So actually, we watched that goal many times. And, you know, when I remember it, when the free kick happened in the game, and that noise came from the stadium, it was a lot of pressure on me, you know. Now everybody expects that Sapara scores goal from the free kick, so it was very, very difficult.
Alltså, det här är för Brann Rosenborg I 2006. Det var helt stinn brakke på Brann stadion. Det var ståtribunen ändå. Jag tror på 20,000. Det var engelska tillstander. Rosenborg snöt Brann för gullet. Blev kastat ägg på Steffen Iversen och Sapara dunkade där frispark I hörnet. Petter, du kommenterade kampen då?
Ja, när sagt dessvärre gjorde jag det för det är sånt att de kamperna jag kommenterat, det blev ju någon återvärt. De huskar jag så otroligt dåligt för att när du kommenterat matchen så var det liksom så omgör att vara där I ögonblicket, sant? Och en fotbollskamp I radiosammanhang är liksom bara en miljon små ögonblick efter varandra att du glömmer hela kampen till slut totalt sett så att I förkant av den här podcasten med Marek så måste jag rätt så att sätta mig ner och så se någon video och sån och det är nästan blanka nyheter utan att jag satt mig och ser den kampen från Bergen men det frisparken det Sapara det huskar jag gott och så ser jag ju att muren står inte perfekt vårt keepern kanske inte är fantastisk men allikevel så är ju frisparken där ett ögonblick för Rosenborg evigheten rätt och slett då.
It was the 3-1 goal Marek and it was the game that made you the title that gave you the title in 2006. What do you remember from this game?
I think many things I remember from that game. It's really rememberable the some actions what we have done, for example with Stefan, some other free kicks, corners, of course goals. So many things, and I also remember that run after the free kick when I scored, and I was running in front of the tribune, in front of our supporters, and they were shouting, they were like going crazy, and so we did. So it was very, very, very emotional, and I remember even like all players like standing in front of that crazy and perfect supporters, and we were like celebrating that goal and almost title that at that time, you know.
Det här blir ju en övelse I engelsk och norsk, Petter. Vi tar mycket på engelsk. Så följer på textningen, skulle du säga. Det är ju lite artigt att säga då, men och så tar vi nog på norsk och så har jag ju checkat vad pungfest är på engelsk, så du är ju spänd på det, Petter, eller hur?
Ja, det är faktiskt lite spänd på äkta.
Ja da. Så jag prövade där en gång för med rin I kolen. Det var väl ingen tir på tärningen, men gick sån så där, tror jag.
Ja, alltså det har blivit en sån grej efter på vem är dåligast av mig engelska och det har jag tänkt att bevisa en gång för alla idag att det är du.
Har du sett över nå I Vanvikan? How much Norwegian do you understand, Marek?
27.
What was that?
27, I think it's 27.
Ja, 27.
Right?
Ja, 27.
Yeah. 27. So that I remember and some of course bad words.
And it's no coincidence that you remember 27 because that's your magic number, yeah? That's your number.
Exactly. It was my number in my whole career, so it was very special, and it is still a very special number for me.
But except for a short period in Turkey when you had to have 72, yeah, because the 27 was occupied.
Exactly. First 6 months when I arrived to Turkey, 27 was occupied, so I had to choose different number, and it was easy for me to choose 72.
And you have 27 in ink on your body as well, yeah? It's tattooed on you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's here.
For dem som ikke, altså det her en podcast, Ole, så de ser ikke, men nå viser seg Marek frem underarmen, ja. Ja, der står det 27.
Det tar du et bilde av etterpå, Petter, og så legger vi ut ved podcasten, for nå sitter jo Marek I Slovakia, og du sitter nå på Vanvikan, jeg sitter på Ugla, sånn livet, det topp det. Og så skal jeg bare si at, but you understood more Norwegian 10 years ago then when you played there?
Of course, because you get too used to it. And actually, now when I'm listening that lovely language, it's fantastic to hear Norwegian again, you know? And I can say I can understand some words when you are talking to each other, guys. So it's pretty nice for me.
So if we cannot name you bad names in this podcast, because you understand.
No, because I know all bad names.
Okay. Og så lærte jo Borek Dokkal seg norsk da han var her, så det jo en del som husk ta med seg noen ting fra Trondheim, ikke bare fotballen. Men,
altså det ikke en fare for at vi skal si stygge ting om Zappara heller da, nei, vi har nei, rett og slett med oss en Rosenborg-legende I dag. Det jo litt, det litt høytid, rett og slett.
Ja, det det. Legend, det forstår du, Marek. Legend in Norwegian. The first one, et røverkjøp til 10 mil. That was the headline in Adressa after his first game for Rosenborg in September 2006. 107 matches, 29 goals for Rosenborg, league champion in 2006, in 2009. He left after the 2009 season for Turkish side Ankara Gucu. 38 games for a national team, and he fixed the penalty against Holland in the World Cup in 2010. Then after Rosenborg, Ankara Gucu, like I said, Trabzonspor, Gaziantepspor, Osmanlispor, lot of Turkish club here, and back to Rosenborg in Slovakia, where you played before you came to Rosenborg. Marek Zappara is married to Lucia, and is now father of two children. An assistant manager in Rosenborg. How is the life as a coach, Marek?
It's much more difficult than to be a football player, I have to say. When you are a football player, it's you're taking care of your job would have to be done on the pitch. So coach comes to you and he says, "Hey, Zappi, I need from you do this, and you're trying to do your best. If you've done it, then you're successful. But now, as a coach, you are responsible for maybe 20, 25 players, and they have to cooperate at the time. So it's very difficult. Of course, there are so many things as tactic and physical shape of that players, what you are responsible for. So it's very, very difficult.
We talk a lot about your carrying, manager carrying. I'm talking about Julian Petter already på engelsk. We'll talk about your managing career, and we talk a lot about your playing career, Marek. But first, I have to talk a little bit about Petter as well. We always do that. Den andre, det deg, Petter. Jeg søkte litt på deg og Zappara for å se om jeg fant noen gullkorn. Du kommenterte jo en haug med kamper på radioadressa denne perioden. Nærmest jeg kom da, for all lyd jo så å si sletta, men det var en meget fornærmet kanarifugl I lokale visse av Romerikens Blad. Er du spent?
Ja, jeg kan jo bare si det først. Vi har jo funnet det at... At der har adresseavisen egentlig begått en litt sånn en tabbe, eller å si det, uten å bli ferdig på seg selv. Altså at vi har rett og slett ingen arkiver fra radioadressen. Det finnes ingen opptak fra de matchene som ble kommentert. Vi hadde jo en sesong med TV-kommentering med meg og Rune Bratseth. Det finnes heller ikke. Det rett og slett bort. Og det faktisk litt trist å kjenne på, for at der det noen helt spesielle øyeblikk også med Marek Zappara.
Men det her jo et spesielt øyeblikk med Marek Zappara, for det her altså på Åråsen I 2009, som da havna I lokalavisa Romerikens Blad, I adrenalinrushet, sa du da, Petter, på lufta I beste sendetid, fotball rettferdig denne søndagskvelden på Åråsen ved den bedritne togstasjonen Lillestrøm. Og Kanarifansens talsmann Vidar Evje, han svarte da lokalavisa, jeg synes det smålig å komme med ting som kan virke nedsettende på andre.
Det så bra at Kanarifansen sier det, det jo deres egen spesialitet, men ja, følelsene tok greit overhånd da, og, men det jo sånn at Lillestrøm fortsatt en bedriten togstasjon, så ja, den står jeg, det synes jeg egentlig en ganske god formulering. Så tenkte jeg jo at når og hvis seriene kommer I gang, så slipper vi å dra dit, men så tanke nummer to at det jo sikkert det, for at Ranheim skal dit.
Ja.
Vi får nå se om det opp på en togstasjon I år og for en av oss, hvis det skulle bli en seriestart.
We're talking about the goal you scored against Lillestrøm in 2009 on extra time, stoppage time, Marek. Do you remember it?
For 2-1, I think, and we won that game. It was in Lillestrøm, right? At their stadium.
And
I remember that game.
Yeah, and
I think, if I'm correct, it was 25th of April.
Oh, that's impressive.
That's impressive. But when we're talking about Lillestrøm, because Petter, he doesn't like Lillestrøm, but when we're talking about Lillestrøm, when you came to Rosenborg in 2006, Lillestrøm wanted you as well, didn't they?
Exactly.
What can you say about that?
There was some interest from sub clubs and Lillestrøm and Rosenborg. I think they were like most interested. But when I was comparing those two clubs with my agent, first of all, then I decided to go to Rosenborg because it was for me much bigger club with more ambitions, you know. To play all the time about the title, about the Champions League. So it was great step for me to go from Slovak League to Norwegian League, but to the great club that I can move forward. And I think when I look back to my career, it was great step.
Do you still follow Norwegian football tight? So you know that Lillestrøm got relegated after last season?
Yeah. Exactly. I know.
Good news.
you know, I know. I know from my young times when I was like beginner in professional football in Slovakia. We were fighting for to stay in first division in my first club when I was first a professional player. So I know how difficult it is. And. We were also relegated in 2 years, after 2 years, and I know how is it to play like for title. So I can compare it, and of course, both is very difficult. But it's not good news for me. Actually, I am, and I will be forever the fan of Rosenborg. And of course, when it's going to be Lillestrøm against Rosenborg, I always be the fan of Rosenborg. But this is not good news. Actually, this is football. This is what happens and in football, and that's why football is very, very, very nice.
Yeah. I have to just underscore that it was a joke. I didn't So I don't get enemies at Lillestrøm. Not too many at least. So okay. You're not Lillestrøm.
That tip has helped, Petter. You have enemies there already. Okay. Den tredje. Den tredje, og det jo for å ta folk litt med på innsida av adressa vår, da, hvor tilfellig ting av og til kan være. 24. juni 2006, altså det lenge siden, skrev adressavisen at Rosenborg vurderer Marek Sappara. Da var jeg mitt første hele år i avisa. Rosenborg hadde treningskamp mot Ålesund den dagen. Høgmo, det Rosenborg slet, alt det der, det med Høgmo at de slet, det husker du, Petter?
Ja, det husker jeg. Godt.
Ja, det husker jeg godt. Og så er overganger hysj-hysj fra Rosenborg alltid, i hvert fall når det snakker om 10 millioners overganger, og stor konkurranse fra andre klubber. CSK Moskva var på, Hamburg var på, Sappara var landslagsspiller, skulle ut i CL-kvalifisering med Rosenborg. Men det historien her da, et par uker før vi skrev det, i 24. juni, da satt jo vår gode kollega Yngve Bergli, som nå ikke jobber med Rosenborg lenger, men gjorde det den gangen. Han satt med en kompis på Dolly Dimples og spiste pizza. Husker det var utenfor Lekran, sant?
Ja. Ja, det er jo på Lekland egentlig, for det er jo i tribunen.
Ja, riktig, på stadion. Og mens den da sitter der, så kommer Sappara ut fra brakka og går inn på RBK-shoppen. Med seg så har han talentspeider Stig Torbjørnsen og Harald Pedersen, altså som alt mulig Harald, sant?
Ja.
Dette var veldig hysj-hysj, og de håpet jo at ingen så dem, og de gikk inn for å teste Rosenborg-drakter. Sappara ble ikke klar før i august, så det her var jo i juni for å besøke klubben og sjekke forholdene liksom da, før han skulle ta et valg. Og Bergli, min og din kollega Petter, han kommanderte jeg for kompisen sin inn på shoppen for å stå bak en reol, for å lytte til hva som ble sagt, sant? For å finne ut, de visste, så jo ikke at det var Marek Sappara, de skjønte at det var en fotballspiller, men ante ikke hvem dette var. Så kompisen, han fikk høre at denne spilleren, han likte drakt nummer 27. Det var alt han fikk vite om. 27. Og så var det til 2006, så vi hadde ikke ekstrem koll på alt av østeuropeiske ligaer og sånt. Så adressa kom seg ikke videre inn saken her før den kampen mot Ålesund 24. juni, og da fikk Bergli en kilde høre at det var snakk om en slovakisk spiller. Jeg satt på kontoret på adressa, og jeg satt og googlet i timesvis. Og til slutt kom jeg, for dette var jo andre tider på nettet, og det gikk ikke så fort, og det var ikke alle klubbsider som var så oppdatert og sånt, så kom jeg til Rosenborg, number 27, Marek Sappara, bingo. Så konfronterte vi Høgmo med det, og så fikk vi saken.
Did you know that, Marek? The first time you were at Lerkendal, in June, you went to the RBK shop to try out some RBK sweaters, and we actually had a colleague sitting there at the pizza restaurant who spotted you, and that's why we got the story, because it was 2 months before you came, you actually came to Rosenborg, so we had total control over the whole situation because you went to the Dolly Dimples and the RBK shop trying out the shirt, the number 27.
Yeah, it was really nice because we decided with Lucia to go actually personally to Trondheim to check the stadium, to meet people there and just start to ask about some things. And after those 2 days, we decided to definitely go to Rosenborg.
So that visit was the key to get you to Trondheim permanently.
Not the key, but part of the key. You know, I mean, there are many things why you when you choosing something such a very important for you or for your future. Then it's there are many things that you have to put together. So one part was that visiting Trondheim, you know. Totally different was that my ambitions in football, that I wanted to go to a great club to move forward, but I didn't want to finish like some guys in Slovakia. They have chosen like very big club. They could not like play there, and after 2 years they were back in Slovakia, maybe finishing third for division. So it was very, very important for me at that time to choose right step, and I said it. Rosenborg was perfect for me.
And like
one part, and one, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I thought about first, Petter, for and at the time, because we had an interview with you 3 years ago, and then you told me about the CSKA Moscow interest, and you told me that time in 2017 that everybody wanted me to go to CSKA Moscow. It would have given Rosenborg more money, but I did not dare to. I did not feel safe.
Exactly. Actually, that happened that happened like maybe 1 month before I was visiting the Trondheim, and I was also in Moscow because our owner from Ružomberok sent me there with one more player to. He said, "Go there and try their training camp. We will see what's gonna happen." You know, and I was there for 1 week. I was training and I was feeling good. Everything was okay, but I got scared. It was a very difficult time, and there were everywhere around the stadium, around the training camps, there were like guards with guns, you know. And I didn't feel safe, really. And I could not imagine to bring my family there, you know, and raise my kids there. And it was for me impossible. Even CSKA Moscow, coach said it's for him. If he was me, he would like to have me in a squad to work with me on the progress. So it was very difficult. But when I arrived home, I decided not to go there. And then the next step was visiting Trondheim, and I decided this is the right city where I want to go.
Så det med Petter at Rosenborg har fått ikke tvil på kvaliteten for det, den SMS-en fra var det fra Rambo til Høgmo eller til Rude Bratseth som var sportsdirektør løp og kjøp ferdig med det.
Yeah, that's a part of the story, Marek. Kåre Ingebrigtsen and Trond Henriksen, they went down to Slovakia to see you play. And when they came back, oh no, before they came back, they sent a text message back to the coach saying, buy this guy now, at once, immediately. Just buy him. Did you meet Kåre and Trond Henriksen that time when they came to see you in Rosenborg?
It was after the game against Djurgården in Champions League qualification rounds. And they were watching me during that game. Actually, we won that game 3-1, and we get through to the next round. And our next opponent was CSKA Moscow. Actually, so it was at that time very strange. But yeah, I met both guys after the game. We spoke personally, and I felt from them like they are friends, and they think about me the best. It wasn't just, yeah, come here, help us, or you know, we take care of you. It wasn't like that, and you can feel it from the people. I think when you speak with someone honest, and honestly, he thinks that that he wants to help you, then you can feel it. And at that time, I felt from both of them that I'm really welcome in Rosenborg. It was exactly that another part of my decision that I have chosen Rosenborg.
And you also said one time before that your father was a footballer as well, and he reminded you of Rambo Henriksen on the pitch. Is that correct?
Oh my God! Yeah, Rambo, and even. When he reminded me, and we were like watching some games or something, and he was talking about him, it was okay. But when I met him, oh my God, he was beast. And I said, come on, guys, he cannot be such a big guy. How he could play football, you know? So when you see him personally, but actually he is an amazing person, I have to say. He was friendly to me all the time. In Rosenborg, he was helping me a lot, and I'm such a happy that he has such a talented son, you know. So I also following him, and I'm so so happy for him as a father.
Yeah, and Trond is still there. You know that Trond is still assistant manager in Rosenborg.
Yeah,
Rambo. Det var vi egentlig ordentlig I gang, Petter. Det tok 22 minutter I dag. De introen våre blir bare verre og verre, men. Fotballen står jo dønn stille. Litt løpetester og spillere på utgående kontrakt som ikke vil si så mye og sånt I Rosenborg-miljøet akkurat nå. Men vi kan ta en liten ting da før vi snakker mer om Marek, og det jo det Tim Pritchard-case. Vi vet at Rosenborg interessert. Han blir vel 18 år I morgen eller noe sånt, en uke I hvert fall, og må vel snart skrive proffkontrakt da med Malmö. Om det drøyer og korona går over, så kan ting skje. Men foreløpig litt på selvnesnivå, som vi snakket om I februar-mars, før koronaen tok knekken på alt. Tim Prisha, Petter?
Ja, det svinger jo voldsomt av navnet Brica. Jeg ser jo at enkelte Rosenborg-supportere som mener at faren Rade var den beste Rosenborg-spissen ever. Det sliter jeg med å gi min fulle tilslutning til, men at Rade Brica var en enorm spiller for Rosenborg på sitt aller beste, det en liten tvil om, og det hadde... Sånn at igjen, min approach til fotball at det handler om å gå og se en sirkusforestilling, og ikke noe hadde vært bedre enn om en ny Brica hadde dukket opp på Lerkendal, men For å være litt ærlig, så synes jeg det kjennes ikke ekstremt sannsynlig ut da.
Nei, det gjør kanskje ikke det, men det jo en kis som har spilt i Nardo og har veldig sånn, jeg snakket jo med Rade på søndagen, han sier jo at guttungen Tim, han jo altså, stor interesse for han, og han trives godt i Malmø, så det som du sier, sannsynligheten der vel ganske lav, men det jo tross alt en gutt som har fortsatt av kompiser i Trondheim, og det som han fortsatt kontakt med på sosiale medier, og det må jo ha vært noen ting det også, tenker jeg.
Det klart det. Han begynte med fotball i Trondheim og spilte jo på Nardo og har jo helt sikkert gode connections til byen, sånn at Rosenborg er et alternativ for han. Det tror jeg vel kanskje på, men hvis det stemmer at han på en måte er den mest talentfulle svenske spissen, så vil jeg tro at det andre beilere også der ute, og så er det vel kanskje likevel det mest sannsynlig at han får seg en ordentlig proffkontrakt med Malmö når han nå fyller 18 år, eller?
Jo, jeg tror du har rett I det. You played with Rade Prica, Marek, one season. Now his son is linked to Rosenborg.
Really? What is
doing? Can you remember him? Can you remember him? Team Prica?
Yeah, of course. He was attacker. He scored many goals.
He's now turning 18. He's playing for Malmö, but his contract is expiring and. There are some loose rumors about Tim and Rosenborg, so maybe.
Then I think he can bring some very good things to for the young players, and maybe Rosenborg is going to have new Haaland soon.
maybe some Rosenborg fans claiming that Rade Prica is the best striker for Rosenborg. At all times, you played with both Rade and Steffen Iversen. There's another good candidate for that title. Who was the best, Steffen or Rade?
For me, Steffen. I think in all contributes when you take a player as a whole package. I think it was Steffen. Steffen had, for example, fantastic free kick. Like his. Kicking technique was clear, was really good. We used to play one game like football golf or something like that. We kicked the ball away and with the another one, we try to reach it, you know, as a golf, but without the holes. And he was perfect at this, and you have to have skills on that. Plus, his heading was fantastic. Play with the body, you know. You could pass him very difficult pass, and he kept it all the time, and that makes very big difference in a play sometimes, and I think that's why for me Stefan is better.
But now we talked about Rade and his son Tim. What about your own kids? We have seen them in Rosenborg shirts in Rosenborg games. Lara Maria, 9 years old. Matthias, soon to be 6. Are there a future Rosenborg star there? One of them?
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah, Lara Maria, she likes basketball.
Okay,
a lot, so
basketball.
She has like 2 trainings in a week. And same Matthias, but of course in football. He loves football. And he's running everywhere with the ball, kicking it everywhere now when we stay home. Our walls are going to destroy it, I think. So he likes it a lot. Actually, yeah, two times a week training as well with football team here in Slovakia and in Ružomberok. So I hope there is future for both of them.
Ja, da blir det en Rosenborger der, Petter, og så blir det noe, det ikke noe basketballlag I Trondheim, Nidaros kanskje, Jets eller sånt, eller?
Nei, det ikke samme. But imagining that happened in 12, 15 years, a new number 27, Sapara. On Rosenborg.
when I see like he's gonna be soon 6 years old, so let's say less than 15 years, I can imagine.
Less than 15 years. That's no pressure on the kid, but less than 15 years.
He's not listening, so there is no pressure on him, you know?
Pitte litt om corona også, da, før vi begynner å snakke om Mariks karriere igjen. Altså, jeg snakket lenge med Paul på telefon I går, Helland. Han mener det bare å kjøre på nå. Oppkjøringen for så vidt over, så 15. juni blir det go for tromme tribuner. Kjør på, så får vi heller frikjenne litt spillestil I starten, sier Paul. Altså, det får heller se litt rotet ut, men kom nå I gang. Petter, du enig? Altså, kan vi akseptere litt dårlig spillestil bare for å få I gang serien så fort som bare juling hvis det innenfor reglene?
Altså, spillestilen det den minste bekymringen knyttet til en eventuelt oppstart av serien igjen. Det jo, alt det andre jo mye mer viktig enn det, men når det sagt, så det vel gjerne sånn at det en god del klubber I toppfotballen I Norge som rett og slett avhengig av at det skjer noen ting snart. Ja. Det handler om TV-inntekter, og det handler om å rett og slett få I gang julene for å tilfredsstille sponsorer. Det finnes jo forsmarsjør-klausuler I kontraktene som betyr at blir det ingen fotball, så kan det vel godt hende at noen av de sponsorkronene også forsvinner helt automatisk.
Yep.
Og for at noen av de sponsorene også sliter av disse koronatider, sånn at... At det etter hvert begynner å bli ganske livsavhengig at fotballen starter opp igjen på et eller annet vis, det tror jeg ganske sånn uomtvistelig, og så kommer det jo litt sånn dryppvis forholdsvis gode signaler og gode beskjeder knyttet til fotballen. Det jo en del litt sånn kontroversielle forslag som svirer ut I lufta om å la oss da isolere hele toppfotballen for eksempel litt sånn, ja. Og så lage en eget, et eget lite fotballunivers som I en slags sånn felles isolasjon, og så spiller vi fotball så lenge båten bærer, og blir noen syk, så får de sitt hjem, og så får de som da fortsatt frisk fortsatt å spille. Men,
ja, men synes du det greit? Synes du det greit?
Ja.
Ja.
Det litt sånn dramatisk, og litt sånn drastisk, og litt sånn uvante tanker, men... Men når det sagt, så tenker jeg at idrettsfolk jo blant de folkene I samfunnet som på en måte I utgangspunktet flinkest til å ta smitte, som på en måte til å ta smittevernhensyn, og som lever litt I en boble sånn likevel, sånn at jeg tror ikke at hverdagen til for eksempel Paul ville ha blitt veldig mye mer annerledes dersom man nå hadde gått inn I en slags sånn kollektiv isolasjon og spilt fotball enn den tilværelsen de har per I dag, da, sånn at...
Ja, men han, det må jo være inkludert, han har jo en sønn og kone her, eller I hvert fall en samboer.
Altså, det en million vanskelige problemstillinger oppi hele den settingen der, men det kjennes løsbart ut på et vis, og det I hvert fall ikke noe tvil om at TV-tallene hadde kommet til å bli rimelig hyggelig hvis man nå hadde kommet I gang igjen med fotball, da kan jo på en måte forhåndslov at de første kampene som går på Lerkendal med tilskuere til stede, hvor det mulig, I tilnærmet normalt gjenge, Det kommer til å bli bra stil I brakkeplekene, for det bra sug etter fotball, det skjedde.
Marek, we're talking about corona, how is it in Slovakia? You ended the league 7th of March or something before it happened, so you were lucky to finish the league, but how is the situation in Slovakia at the time?
Yeah, it's difficult. We also staying home. We cannot train together even in small groups. We are always waiting for some news from our government, you know. So. All our players have like individual plans. I think in Slovakia it's not such a bad situation as in some other countries, especially around us. But our government decided to be very careful. So still waiting for some news if we can start training or not. But I don't know. It's going to be very difficult to finish the league this season. We have up front maybe 13 or 15 games, so there is I think no time to finish it till the end of the June because I think European Football Federation sent some documents that all leagues must end till 30th of June. Maybe they're going to change something about it. I don't know. But we're still waiting for some news, as I said. But it's difficult to keep players in the shape like this, you know. So I hope they will let us play or train even in small groups, maybe 6-7 players. It's much better. But still, when they let us train all together. It's gonna it's gonna like takes, for example, 2-3 weeks to train together to prepare for the games, you know, because it's not such an easy thing to prepare a whole team for the game.
But how is the economy in Slovakian football at the moment? I mean, do you still have all the players on your salary list? Do they get full paid? How is that when you don't have any income?
It's different in all clubs, of course. In our club, actually, we are very lucky because our owner is a great guy. And of course, we don't have full income. We agreed with the club to go down 40% of our salaries, everybody. So it's like this. There are rules, of course, about that. And club in good times helping the players to raise their career and to be successful. So of course now it's up to us to help the club to be alive after this crisis. So I hope everything is going to be soon in the end, and we will allow to continue in normal way.
But like you said, I can have read wrong here, because you have played 22 games of this season, but there still are games of this season. I thought you were true, but you're not.
22 games already done, but there is also cup games, and now actually in Slovakia there are rules after 22 games we split in two groups. There is group about the title and the second group about the relegation, you know, for first six and the other. Plus, we are in first six, actually, luckily, and we are in semi-final of cup.
Yeah.
And if there is one question only. If we're not going to finish this league, what's going to happen next year? For example, when we are talking about European leagues.
I see.
Who's going to be qualified for the games there?
But Marek, sixth position for Rosenborg. When you are your assistant manager, you have a manager above you. Is that a successful season for you for your debut season, or should you done better? I don't know.
Always you can do better, of course. But half of that season, what we have done, we were fourth. So we were doing pretty well. First three teams are top teams in Slovakia, and we were following them. But we have to say something like that when we started to be coaches here in the last summer, we took the team and we took different we have chosen different way to go with our club. So we sent away old and more like players. They have big salaries, because our owner wanted to play with young players and rebuild the team, you know. So in this case, I have to say we are lucky that we are in first six players first team, like sixth in the table, you know. So I have to say, and I'm not the guy that I'm shouting about myself that I am good, but I have to say we've done pretty good job this year, and we are very, very happy about it.
4-3-3, or are you having another philosophy? Very short.
We started the season 4-3-3, but with so many changes in the squad, we had to change tactic, and now we're preferring 3-5-2.
3-5-2. That's the model.
Yeah.
Og så får vi en del spørsmål, fordi lytterne våre har vært greie. Nå kommer sønnen på fanget her også. That's a good thing. Trym, the first question, we have questions from listeners, Marek, on this podcast. How is your relationship to RBK today? Petter asked you 15 minutes ago that Lillestrøm was relegated. How do you check the table, league table for Rosenborg? Are you following them?
Yeah, I'm following always. I have the Rosenborg as my favorite team in the app, you know, they are receiving always some news and of course results after every game. So of course I following them, and Rosenborg, since first my day till today, there are nothing changed. There is nothing changed for me. It's like my family, and it's gonna be forever. Always, we are planning with Lucia some trips ahead, and we wanted to go before this coronavirus came. We wanted to go this year to Trondheim again to visit our friend and visit some games, because really like it there. We love city, you know. People there, and we have still many friends there. So, but the situation changed about this coronavirus, and we're gonna postpone it.
We got another question regarding: should Rosenborg take another trip down to Rosenborg to watch the team? Could there be another Sappi coming up, being interesting for Rosenborg? Or is has the times changed? Do you think? If you had been like not 20 years old now, could you still go to Rosenborg one more time? Or has Slovakia football changed? Has Rosenborg became a less more attractive club? Could a transfer like that happen again?
Definitely not less interesting club for Slovak players. There are in our squad, there are some players that are very talented, but maybe not in good time to take that step at the moment. You know, maybe they need time, but they are interesting players, and I recommend it to Rosenborg to come for some games or watch it somewhere on internet and check some players, because there are some
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Interesting players. Usually we have young team now, so I think it's good for Rosenborg, and also some national team players for under 20, 21 and under 19 in our club. So there are some good players maybe in the future for Rosenborg as well.
Okay, Marek, give me one or two names. Come on.
You know, I could break my my contract with my club, so it's definitely not possible. But check it by yourself, and you will see.
Okay.
Is there any player number 27 on Rosenborg? No, or is that shirt yours forever?
It's under the roof.
Okay.
No, of course it's not under the roof as in NHJ, but nobody is wearing it because. Our like staff manager, who's choosing the numbers, is taking care that nobody takes 27 yet. But he said that it's not time yet for someone to wear number 27.
You know, it's like that in Rosenborg as well. The shirt number 6, since Roarstein quit, there hasn't been any number 6. But we got another question from a listener saying, who was the best player you played alongside in Rosenborg, and why was it Roarstein? Did you understand?
No. One more time, the question.
The question was, who was the best player you played along in Rosenborg? And why was it Roarstein?
Absolutely Roarstein, because they are, for football player, for me, it's not only football skills. Football player is not only about football skills. It's only also about character, about how you can be the leader, not only on the pitch, but also off the pitch. Absolutely Roarstein. He could be a president of Norway. I don't know. He can do whatever. It's unbelievable. For me, that guy was such a leader that I would go everywhere with him. You know what I mean? And that was very impressive for me, that in the rest of my career, when I left Rosenborg, I tried to be for younger players as good as Ruhr, even if it's not possible to be such a good, you know? That this is very difficult. He is, for me, like father of football in Norway. And there is nothing to change about it.
Da har vi altså Roarstein som presidentkandidat I Norge ved neste gang.
Strong words.
I will send him my bank account. He can send something to me.
Okay, I think we'll have to go down the memory lane a little bit now about Marek Zaparab. Men helt først, Petter, in Norwegian, one question to Petter first. I can take it in English as well. Why do you, Petter, think Marek Zapara still is so popular in Trondheim? It's 11 years since he left. And when we promoted this podcast some days ago, I have never experienced any interest like this. Petter, tell på norsk, du.
Ja, I'll take it in Norwegian, Marek, so don't have to lie on yourself. Nej, men det handler
remember,
om,
remember, I understand some bad words.
I'm not going to say any bad words. Nej, altså, jeg tror rett og slett at Marek Zapara kom så brått på mange av Rosenborg-supporterne, at man ble så til de grader positivt overrasket, ikke sant? Her dro Rosenborg til et helt sånn, ja, egentlig en litt sånn kvit flekk på kortøyaktig sted av fotball I Europa, og fant fram en kar, som vi hører jo nå, han ble jo så åpenbart glad I Rosenborg, altså han ble liksom en Rosenborger over natta.
Ja.
Altså han elsker Rosenborg, og det var så synlig når han var der også. Han ville altså veldig gjerne spille for Rosenborg, og han gjorde det, unnskyld uttrykket, så jævlig bra, at til og med kjernen unnvek en av sine fasteste regler om at man ikke skal lage sanger om enkeltspillere, ikke sant? O.A. Zappara, som vi hørte I starten her. Og det I seg selv også jo en enorm hedersbevisning, sånn at jeg tror egentlig at tribunen følte at Marek Zappara var hel ved, og det var han fra dag 1. Og så jo en jævla type, ikke sant? Og så var han I stand til å gjøre sånne mål som han gjorde for eksempel mot Brann, og så hadde han jo en helt sånn unik connection med en annen av tidenes yndlinger på Lerkendal, Steffen Iversen, ikke sant? Ja. De to han sammen var jo helt, det var helt fantastisk. Sånn at han har nesten blitt litt sånn mytisk I etterkant. Jeg sikker på hvis du går opp på kjernetribunen og begynner å rope OA, sant? Så går det 2 sekunder, og så synger hele Øvre Øst med. Og der det jo mange som står der som kanskje ikke har sett Marek spill I gang, for så kort jo fotballhukommelsen hos noen, ikke sant? Det jo nye generasjoner som har kommet til, men han lever fortsatt som en del av myten, eller han har blitt en liten Rosenborg-legende, da.
Why do you think yourself that you are so popular, Mark, 11 years after you left the club?
Me?
Yeah.
And am I still popular there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I cannot say that. You know, it's football, and some supporters likes you, some not, and it's very difficult to be perfect for everybody, for all of them, you know. But I think I try to do my best, and I really, really love Rosenborg as my family, as my all people there, they treated me very, very well. And that's why I wanted to, like, bring it back on the pitch, to do my best, to have fun for me. And when I have fun, I think our supporters, they have it as well. So I try to be really positive there, bring some quality what I had, because you never bring anything what you don't have, right? So I'm happy that it is like this, and I just hope that they maybe because they were listening to me and my English was really bad, and still I'm. Even in my age, almost 38, and I have to say my football is still better than my English, you know, so maybe, I don't know.
But you had a very special and kind of unique connection with Stefan Iversen. The two of you guys, you both on and off the pitch, you had a link. Are there any Stefan Iversen stories that could tell us now that... that we don't know from before?
You know, there are no stories, just I have to say he was always right, but don't tell him. he was always right, really, because he was like a very experienced guy from Premier League, character guy, so I learned a lot from him. So There are not like stories or bad stories or funny stories, because there are so many stories that we could talk about. Actually, he was always right. And when we played some games, like we used to play Yahtzee, you know, he always won. You know, I like him. I like him a lot. And he was visiting sometimes the training camp with his son Joey, and I cannot imagine how big he is now and how they are now. So I hope they are all good, and I wish them best luck.
To talk about Marek again here, because one of the things that made him so popular was his right foot, you know, the free kick foot. You know, 37, you are managing yourself, but if you can be short, Marek, why did you become a top-class player? Did you train a lot as a kid? You moved to football gymnasium in Košice or something when you were 16, 17. Just tell the young listeners there, how much work is it behind that right foot?
It's daily work. Daily work, and but very, very special thing. You have to love football. You have to love what you do. Otherwise, you can be as talented as anybody else in the world. But when you don't love it, you cannot move forward. And I try to be better and better every day. So when I was going on the pitch, I was going with love, and I tried my best. So of course, my right foot is. It's good because I kicked to the ball like 10,000 times, and or I don't know, it's probably a lot, you know. So after every training, I put the ball and I was kicking. So it's about practice.
And then you, like I said, came to Rosenborg from Rosenborg, where you are today. You got to debut against Sandefjord away, and you were an important person to bring the trophy back to Trondheim in 2006 after losing it the year before. I just for listeners, so they can put it in some kind of context here. In 2006, that fall, you played just from September, and it was just 26 games a season back then. 3 goals, 2 assists in the league. 2007, 7 goals, 13 assists in a bad season for Rosenborg as a club. If you take the Champions League away from it, 12 assists again in 2008. So quite a lot of goal points, like we say in Norway here. But just shortly, what do you remember now from the end of the 2006 season when you just came here and you moved from Slovakia and you brought home the trophy?
What I remember, I was two times champion in this year. I don't know how many players can say that, because we won league in Slovakia in May. Then I won with Rosenborg in November or October, and I became I became a player of national team. That it's not only a player. They say, he's gonna stay or not. He's gonna stay or not. I started to play many games there at that time because of Rosenborg, you know. So it was great move for me, and that year was the best year in my career.
And then we come to 2007, and we talked about it. We talked about it 2 weeks ago with Vidar Iseth, the number 10 central defender. That's not good. That the central defender has number 10 on his back. You have to agree.
Yeah, like usually in football, number 10 have those best players or best scorers and this kind of players. But Vidar was an excellent player.
And then we have to come to the Valencia games for you as well. We talked to Vidar Iseth 2 weeks ago about the same thing. But if I don't remember wrong, you assisted the second goal in Mestalla. How do you remember those games?
Special games, really special games. Because I think, I don't know how many supporters expected two victories in a row against Valencia at that time, you know. But we did great job in first game against Chelsea. Suddenly, our team like raised up and was much more motivated for next games. And then I think second game we lost against Schalke, so it was disappointing for us. But Valencia came, and for us it was like, or at least for me, it was like the most important game in a career. You know, those games that you go, you are on the way, and you have to choose: you're going right or left, because. In that game, you can show your ability, your skills, everything, everybody watching, agents, national team coach watching, and there is a lot of pressure on you. And then you can show in those circumstances, you can show how good you are. So I think we actually, what we did in those two games was excellent, home and away. And actually, especially away, I think we played much, much better than home game. But both games we won. We had six points, and we were really happy.
Husker du den kontringen på 2-0 i Mestalla, Petter? Det var jo Zappara, Siljan Zappara, Steffen goal. 2-0 up in Mestalla, Marek. Is that correct?
It's no wonder that the game is called. We have called the game for the miracle at Mestalla, yeah. Which it really was, because you were kind of struggling in the national league, and then you did fantastic against Valencia. You now know that Per Siljan is coming back to Rosenborg, yeah?
No, I didn't catch that new, but I was following him and Rune Jarstein, Alexander Tete. So I am happy to hear it.
It means that you're not so old anyway, because the teammates from that time is still playing. Per Siljan is now coming back to play for Rosenborg.
But they were kids at that time. No, I'm a kid. So it's excellent to hear it, and how I came back to Rosenborg to help them in my last seasons. I hope Per Siljan is going to be the same important player for Rosenborg.
And then Hamrén came in 2008. Erik Hamrén replaced Tørum. What do you remember from that time? You changed from 4-3-3 to 4-4-2. Did that suit you as good as Indreløper?
Yeah, it's quite different. But it's only about tactics and what you have to do during the training sessions, you know. When coach comes to you and he will explain to you what he expects from you on the pitch, then it's easy. It's much more difficult when a coach only talking about tactics and not talking personally with players, you know, then it's very difficult. But as you see now, that that season 2009 was amazing, and we brought the title back to Trondheim again.
And that year, you started to snooze. Who was the teacher of that? Are you still doing that?
Not that year. And my teacher was Mika Kopinen, and it was 2006 after the perfect game against Brann Bergen in Brann at the hotel room, because we stayed for the night in Brann after that game. So after the dinner, Mika came with something I never saw it before, you know, and I said, take it. When I put it behind my lip, you know, in 30 seconds, my arms let down, you know. I could not walk. I just spit it out, you know, because I thought I would pass out. So it was very, very, very nice, actually.
Oh, so you lost the feeling in your arms, and you thought it was very nice.
I lost everything in my arms, but it was really nice. I mean, experience, you know.
But the legend says that when you played for Rosenborg, all the way along you were smoking cigarettes, and we also got questions about that. Did you? Is that true? Did you? How many cigarettes a day did you smoke when you played for Rosenborg?
10 daily.
And you still do?
You know, I was always talking to myself at that time. You know, when you're training hard and you're working on 100% in the training session and in the game, then it doesn't affect you. It's stupid mistake what I have done in my career, you know. But now I am older and maybe smarter. I'm not smoking anymore, actually, after the career. Stupid guy. But yeah, I was smoking. It was my habit. And but what can I say? You know, I was smoking for a long time, and maybe it doesn't help me in physical shape, but I think it doesn't have any effect on my tactical or technical skills.
Do you still snooze then?
Still now. I usually in Slovakia, some other players use it. So, yeah. Sometimes I take it on the bench, especially during the game when I was nervous.
We are soon through, but it's so nice to have you here, Marek. So we have some more questions before we call it a day. Because the 2009 season started, and the Turkish side Besiktas offered 30 million kroner, 3 million euros for Marek Zapara, and Rosenborg said no. What happened, Marek?
I don't know. They said no. You know, it was a difficult time for me, because actually at that time I had the feeling that I reached some level, and if I want to put that level of my football higher, then I have to left for, not because Rosenborg didn't give me great like things, and because of Rosenborg I couldn't move forward, but because of the league, you know. Yeah. And that's why I prefer to leave the league and to go away. Even it was for me heartbreaking thing, you know, to leave Rosenborg. And but that's what about football is. Also in Rosenborg, when I was leaving to Rosenborg, it was the same, you know, because this is my city, and I love it. I won the champion, first and only championship here in Rosenborg. But for my career, it was very, very, very important to move forward. So yeah, at that time I was sad, and I think you could see it, or supporters could see it on my performances, that it wasn't very good at that time.
Petter, det var jo veldig rart, fordi at dette var jo sesongen hvor Rosenborg satsa veldig hardt igjen etter efter 8-säsongen så var en nettur och 7-säsongen som i elitserien var en nettur. Rosenborg tackade nej till 15 miljoner för Tetti, tackade nej till bud på Steffen, tackade nej till 30 mil på Sappara. Så kom ju sommaren och Hamrén hoppade ju att släppa och sälja Tetti en gång till, men då måste nog sälja till franske Rennes för 40 miljoner. Det var mycket pengar omlöp på backa då.
Ja, det var en period där Rosenborg spilt väldigt väldigt högt rätt och slett ekonomiskt. Så ska jag till att visa att det blev för tufft när man inte klarte det, så gick man på en liten smäll, men mitt uppe i allt det där så var det ju en av de raraste rattingarna av en spelarkarriär vi har sett kanske i Rosenborg historien då man valt att sätta igen Marek Sappara hemma för ja. En viktig bortekamp, kvalikamp. Det var borta mot Karabakh.
Karabakh, ja.
Och då satt Marek Sappara hem i Trondheim för att man trodde man skulle sälja för trillebollas med guldpengar. För att då var han redan het för Besiktas och andra, men det kan det väl hända att Erik Hamrén kanske kunde ha inrymt att vara en tabbe sån inte kan inte nu då. Skönt att jag lite har mina tvivel till om det någon inrymmelse någon gång kommer, men vi kunde ju spöra Marek om det. Do you remember that time, Marek, when you had to stay at home in Trondheim when Rosenborg went to Karabakh to play? Because for sure, Rosenborg, they were planning to sell you. And if you played against Karabakh, you couldn't play for any other team in Europe. No. The history shows that it was a big mistake. What did you feel about it that time?
It was very difficult, as I said. For me, it was very important to move forward, and but I always wanted to play for Rosenborg, and you know, when you have something that you love, you want to do, and someone that you love, and you want to do it for, and it's not possible that it can be happened, you know. So that's what I mean. I love football. I want to play football always, and I love Rosenborg. I want to play for Rosenborg always when it's possible. But at that time, I actually felt that it's very important for me to move forward. And actually, when I was talking with, for example, coach of national team, you know, he was always talking about, like, not go away or you're not going to play for national team. It wasn't like that. But you can feel it, that coach is talking about, you know, Sapi, it's better for you to move to better league. You're gonna be better football player, and you can reach higher level again. So you need motivation to move forward, and these kind of things, you know. So it's very difficult. What can I say?
Like, it sounds like it was you that not wanted to play that game.
You know, I think, I don't know if it's the same situation, but there was something in news. And I don't know, it's a long time ago, but maybe it was because I said something bad in news. I don't know if it's the same situation.
I don't remember, Marek, at the moment.
Yeah, I had some interview with someone, but because of my bad English, or I didn't understand correctly, or I said something what I didn't mean, there was something in news, and Rosenborg guys, that like they were angry at me. But then I had a meeting also with this guy who had interview, also with guys from Rosenborg, and I said, okay, I didn't mean it. I didn't know what was in news, you know, because I didn't understand Norwegian. I could not read anything in news. So We made a deal, we made new interview, and afterwards I started to train again and work and play for Rosenborg.
I ask you a direct question, Marek.
Yeah.
An honest question. Was it you that not wanted to play the game against Karabakh because your wish to go to another league, to a better league, was so strong at the moment that you knew that if you played for Rosenborg against Karabakh, your chances to be sold would decrease, would be a little less likely to happen?
I think it was like a cooperation between me, my agent, and Rosenborg.
Okay, I see.
I also, it's a long time ago, and I want to be honest now. I think we decided to not play that game because it was also for Rosenborg that they will lose transfer money, you know, for me that I will lose the club, that I can go and play Champions League, for example. So I think it was cooperation between us at that time, if I remember correctly.
Prøv å ta det veldig kjapt til norsk, vi skal straks videre, og klokka går her også, veldig hyggelig, men det handlet jo veldig enkelt om at hvis Marek Zappara ikke spilte de kampene, så var han mulig å få kjøpt for andre klubber I Europa som spilte Øyekøp, hvis han spilte de kampene, på grunn av regler, så ville det ikke være mulig å selge Marek til en klubb som da skulle spille Europacup den høsten, det var vel greia. Men saken jo at det ble en tap-tap-situasjon, for Marek ble ikke solgt, Rosenborg røk ut mot Karabakh, kom ikke inn I Europa-ligaen, and that's the end of the story.
Ja, og det jo egentlig grunnen til at vi snakket litt, at du bruker litt ekstra tid på det her, Ole, for det jo en litt sånn, et helt avgjørende øyeblikk, egentlig, I hvert fall I kamerenepoken I Rosenborg, for at du var jo I Karabakh og så den kampen, da Rosenborg ja. Røk ut der, så gikk jo på en måte lufta litt ut av Hamrenbobla I Rosenborg også, ikke sant? Man hadde brukt masse penger, gamblet høyt for å fortsatt være inn I det aller beste selskapet, satt igjen Zappara, klarte ikke, og så var det egentlig det starten på slutten, sånn I ganske klare trekk for hele det svenske prosjektet til Rosenborg. Så det et helt sånn avgjørende øyeblikk I nyere Rosenborg-historie, så det veldig, veldig interessant.
Ja, og så fullførte jo Marek, you finished season 2009, and like you said, you won the league almost without losing any game at all. And then Ankara Gucu came in January 2010, and you left. And when you could have been sold for 30 millions the year before, they now sold you just for 2 or 3 millions, pocket money. And it was a lot of discussion with Rosenborg at the time, why did you sell him now? And why not? Because of the end of the contract and so on. But I think one of the reasons also was because of the World Cup 2010 with Slovakia, wasn't it?
Of course, I had to move forward. As I said, I had many interviews with my national team coach. So we were talking about that. And you know why? I don't know why they didn't sell me for much more money 1 year earlier. Because I told them, really, I reached my level here, guys. I love you, and I come back with love anytime in the future. Just for the moment now, if I want to move forward, I have to go to better league. And that was the head point. You know what I mean? So at that time, 2009, I tried to be positive and try to be, you know, concentrated and motivated for the football because it was very difficult at the time. But in my head was qualification for World Cup, and we qualified. So I really, really wanted to go. It was like breaking in our careers. First time Slovakia in World Cup. You know, it was big thing. So of course I wanted to be the part of that squad. Luckily I was.
Så dro vi da Marek til Tyrkia, Ole, og I og med at dette en Rosenborg-podd, så trenger vi ikke snakke så mye om oppholdet hans I Tyrkia, men det jo et aspekt der som litt interessant, vi har fått et spørsmål om det også, hvor nærme var Marek egentlig på å komme tilbake til Rosenborg en gang, det var vel I 2014 I forkant av en ny kontrakt med Gaziantep, det kan vi jo spørre om. Marek, we had a question from a listener saying, how close were you in reality to return to Rosenborg? I think it was before you signed with Gaziantep the last time. Was it in 2014? There was some writing about you maybe coming back to Rosenborg. Was it any reality in that information?
I was in touch with one agent that he was checking the situation in Rosenborg if it's possible for me to go back. But I think there was nicely says that I am old and too many injuries behind me. So of course I accepted. At that time it was big thing for me because I had like 3 injuries and 3 operations behind me on my knee. So of course it's not easy to go back. Even I have a good relationship with someone. They don't give you the contract only like this because yeah you played here before and we know you but at that time the situation was very difficult for me you know
og det jo det vi tar det på norsk kjapt at det var jeg som altså den som skrev om det det var jo meg Petter så jeg husker godt saken ja. Var I december it was in December 2013 when I called Marek and asked him and he confirmed that he was interested in going back because you were back from injury Don't forget, Marek had three serious knee injuries in Norway. It's called korsbånd. I had no idea what it's called in English. And he was trying to come back. And it was, I think it was Perry and Erik Hoftlund who was in charge at Rosenborg. And it didn't end up in a comeback in Rosenborg. But I think the most of the reason was because of your injury situation. But you prove everybody quite wrong when you came back to Gaziantep and played. I think you played 50 games or something for them afterwards. So you weren't all finished then.
Yeah, but it's risky for some clubs to give you a chance if you are after such a serious injuries, you know. But Gaziantep Spor, they knew me from before, from Trabzonspor, because we played with Trabzonspor also Champions League. I was there in Gaziantepspor after my first injury on the loan, you know. So they called me how I am, if I want to come. We just signed a temporary contract for 6 months, you know, at that time. And luckily my knee was quite okay, so I could play some games, but it wasn't on 100%. I have to say, I have to be honest, it would be good move for Rosenborg if they took me at that time.
You think it was
big risk. Okay, big risk of another injuries. You know?
Men Petter, han burde Rosenborg tatt sjansen del, eller?
Det en gyllene regel om å gi seg på topp, og jeg tenker at Zapparam-myten lever sterkere I Rosenborg I dag med den avslutningen han faktisk fikk I klubben enn om han hadde tatt et sånt comeback-aktig gjensyn med Lerkendal. Så det verden full av uunnværlige fotballspillere, og Marek Zapparam en av dem, så det ordnet seg det jo.
But you are quite honest, Marek. You say that you are not sure whether it will be a success in Rosenborg in 2014. Because of the knees.
Yeah. Exactly. You never know. I wanted to go to Rosenborg. Mm. I know not that for 100%, but actually you have to be honest to yourself and to others that it wasn't perfect with my health at that moment, and the knee was not 100%. So you have to be honest, otherwise they will call you a liar or something, and I would never do that to Rosenborg, never.
One question about because one of the biggest reasons why you choose to go to Turkey in the first place was the World Cup 2010 in South Africa, and it wasn't a big success for you personally because you started on the bench for the three first games. And then you came in as a substitute in the knockout phase against Holland. And then you fixed the penalty and you made it was 2-1 to Holland, so it was a decent result. But the World Cup didn't end up like you hoped to then.
Actually, for us, it was big success.
Yeah, of course, to go because, through. But for you personally, yeah, to go.
But for me personally, it was big disappointment. Actually, in qualification rounds, in preparation time, training camps before World Cup, my communication with coach was like for first 11. You know, used to play some good games, and he was talking about me like about player from first 11. So it was big disappointment for me, and then after three games. In group stage at the World Cup, I asked him what happened, but it was said like it was like coach will tell you, yeah, Sapi, everything's okay. I like you in the training, but I have chosen the other players. So this is the explanation, and I got mad and I said some bad words that I that I shouldn't have said, and you know, it's one time life opportunity for the player from Slovakia, or it was before, and I really really wanted to play, and when you deserve it to play, then you expect it that you will play, and then when you are disappointed, then sometimes you say something what you don't want to say, or you don't mean it like this, and that was a problem, and That's why I played only 5 minutes.
Jeg var jo I, faktisk I Slovakia, Peter, I, før oppkjøringen da Norge spilte mot Slovakia. Da startet Sapara, og da var det Marek Hamsik. Marek Hamsik, the big star at the moment. We are very soon through, Marek. It has been over an hour. Fantastic to have you as a guest on the podcast. But one or two questions at the end. First of all, what's your craziest story from your Rosenborg time? You remember? Can you come with some good stuff here from your Rosenborg time that has never been written? The craziest moment.
Craziest moment?
Yeah.
And I had interview before the game against Brann. I think it was the second game. And I had interview and I don't know, I think, Ule, it was you. You kept asking me always, try to tell us the score. What's going to happen in that game? I said, oh, come on, I'm not good at this, and I don't want to say. So we had interview. And again, come on, Marek, what's going to be the score against Brann? And I said, come on, I really don't know. And then in third time, that question came. And I said, okay, we will win 3-1. I will score 2 goals. I score with one right and left. And we will win 3-1. And I just said that the third goal will score Mika Kopinen, I think. And that wasn't true. Otherwise, I scored one goal with right, one with left, and the final score was 3-1. So this is the craziest thing what ever happened to me.
Ole is a very annoying journalist. He keeps asking the same questions over and over again.
I shouldn't have asked him this one. Mats is wondering, one of our listeners, Mats is wondering, is Rosenborg the only place where you have had your own song? You know, it's quite difficult to get an own song in Rosenborg. It's Rostrand, and it's you, and it's a youngster, Erik Botheim. That's the three, only three I can remember better. Is that correct?
From the top of my head, yes, I think yeah. It's correct, yeah.
But it's correct, do you have other songs?
Does Rosenborg have a song for you?
Everyone following the Rosenborg supporters. So they are all the time Ua Sapara, Ua Sapara on other stadiums as well. Just I had in, I think it was Trabzonspor in Turkey. They were singing like, I love you Sapara, 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 I love you Sapara. These kind of things. But that happened to many players, you know, in same club, especially in Trabzonspor. Because I think that's all what they can sing in English. So nothing such a special. But Ua Sapara is such a special thing for me in my career, and I will remember forever. And I will always have tears in my eyes when I'm listening.
Tror du det avslutningen var, Petter?
Ja, man blir jo nesten litt følsom kjør her, så det bare å... Det var Isa nå.
Ja.
You have only started your managerial career. Is there a small part of you dreaming of being manager for Rosenborg someday?
I'm working on it.
You're working on it. Then you have to change that 3-5-2 formation, you know. There's no other way than 4-3-3 if you want to manage Rosenborg.
You know, good coach, come. See the squad, I will choose.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's the
wrong answer.
I'm not talking about more my managing secrets, you know. So I will keep it for Rosenborg.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for being part of this podcast, Marek, and good luck with Rosenborg defending the top 6 and go to the playoffs. And welcome back to Trondheim when the corona time is finished. Then you are coming back here on holiday. Pete, Sampras, Rasmus, we talk next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.